صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون. أطروا أفواهكم بالصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. The most paramount tenet of the Islamic faith is the principle of leadership, imamah, khilafah and succession to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muslims unanimously believe that without the belief and the practice of this doctrine of imamah, faith will be incomplete and salvation will be impossible. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, many numerous transmitters of hadith, they narrate this hadith, this important hadith, من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة جاهلية. Whoever dies before he or she recognize, not only recognize his imam, his lawful imam, an imam that has been appointed, divinely appointed and divinely ordained, infallible imam, you have to recognize him, you have to pay allegiance to him. If one dies before he knows his imam and he recognizes him, mata mitatan jahiliyah, that person, he or she would die, not according to the Islamic tradition, but according to the paganism, the pagan tradition. One of the most formidable principles in Islam, imamah. However, here we have two points that we have to assert. One, the imam that you recognize in this life, your relationship with him is not restricted to this life, is not limited to this life. The journey continues into the next one, the hereafter. He also is going to be your imam and your leader in the hereafter. And this is what Allah mentions in Surah Al-Asra, أو الإسراء. يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم. On such a day, the day of reckoning, we will call each community, each group of people by the name of their leader, by the name of their imam. The Prophet, when he elaborates on this verse, he says that each and every group are going to line up behind their Prophet and behind their imam. People who believe that they follow Moses, they will line up behind him. People who follow Jesus, they would line up behind him. People who truly believe and truly follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also are going to stand behind him. And that's how the Day of Judgment begins. يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. There you cannot falsely join a line that you do not belong to. If you cannot recognize your leader here, it would be very difficult to join him there. You have to fill the application form here. Here you have to fill, date and sign the application form, so they would allow you to join that line on the Day of Judgment. This is one point. The second point is that the issue of imamah and succession to the Prophet is closely linked to the doctrine of monotheism, tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is that? If you read the Quran, Allah says in numerous chapters and verses, أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. Allah asserts that my obedience depends on your obedience to your imam, to your prophet. If you do not obey your imam and your prophet, you are not obeying me. How do we obey him? How do we reach him? He wants me and you and every person in this creation to reach him through a specific gate, not any gate. All roads do not lead to God. Maybe they lead to Rome, but not to God. God has a specific highway, and we have to follow that highway. Therefore, he says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَطَاعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. If you submit to the Prophet and listen to him and obey him, you are obeying God here. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهِ. This is part of monotheism. If you take imamah and tawheed are inseparable, you cannot separate between them. If you throw the imamah away, then the tawheed will be harmed. You are compromising the concept of tawheed by not believing in the imamah. The tawheed is incomplete and the faith will be. This is why when Allah appoints Imam Ali 70 days before the death of the Prophet and the incident of Ghadir, the Quran refers to this incident, specific incident, as the completion of faith. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Before that, for 23 years, still, religion was incomplete. But once Imam Ali is appointed, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. And I have completed, integrated my favor upon me, upon you. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And this is the real version of Islam. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ. Without it, Islam was still in infanthood, babyhood. Was not a mature faith. Was not an integrated faith. So you cannot separate the two, Tawheed and Imamah. You cannot separate Tawheed and Nubuwwah. They are closely linked and connected to each other. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The authority and leadership belongs to him originally. But he bestows that on the Prophet, on his apostle, and on a specific people, not anyone. Here, let me ask you, does every candidate qualify to be my imam? No, absolutely no. Look at the Quran. The answer is found again in the Quran. When Allah speaks about imam and succession, He always, continuously, repeatedly mentions a specific name, Ja'al, ordination, divine ordination. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Wa ja'alnahum a'immatan. Wa ja'alna minhum a'imma. Wa ja'alna lil muttaqina imama. This is His office. And this is His job. The job of ruling on earth belongs to Allah. Allah bestows, delegates part of His authority, part of His power to specific people that He chooses Himself. He selects, He chooses, He ordains, and He appoints. And He declares their name. Not anyone is qualified to be the Khalifa. Not anyone is qualified to be an Imam. This issue is not left for us. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. We have no freedom in this. They have been selected by Allah, not when they reach the age of 30 or 40, even before their birth. Imam Ali and the Prophet, the other Imams, were chosen to be our leaders even before their physical existence. كنت أنا وعلي نور نورا وآدم بين الماء والطين. Even before the existence of Adam عليه السلام. نورين بين يدي الله تعالى. So, there is a specific person we have to follow. This is God's affairs. And He chooses the one. And the Imam is accountable before Him. The Imam represents Allah on earth. Allah says to the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. Vicegerent here means, has a general meaning and more specific meaning. The general meaning is me and you, representing Allah on earth. Man, any man. But the more specific one is the one who is appointed by Allah as a leader, vicegerent. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. So, he's accountable before Allah. And therefore, this Khalifa represents his faith, his religion, his injunctions, his sanctions. And no one is authorized to issue any verdict without the consent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is also not only the creator, the cherisher, the sustainer. Most importantly, He is the legislator. He is the lawgiver. We have no right to legislate. And the Imam is infallible. And I will come to this inshallah. And why he should be infallible. Why he should be ma'soom. Here we have to search for the Imam. The vast majority of the Muslims today, when they reach this concept of imamah, they get confused and lost. They think that whoever stands on the Prophet's pulpit or sits or worships in the Prophet's sanctuary is the one who represents God or the Prophet. But that is not the case. Not anyone who occupies the room or the desk or the table or the chair or the mihrab or the pulpit is representing the Prophet. People are lost here. We have to search. A believer has to be very smart, intelligent and discerning. Not assuming since this guy is the leader of the prayers in the Masjid al-Haram, then he's the rightful imam for us. We have to listen to him, obey him, whatever he says is correct. And we have to pay allegiance to him. That's not right. That's not right. You have to search for the imam. You have to search for the imam. Allah is testing your intelligence here. We don't take anyone as an imam, infallible imam. Not even infallible, not even a regular imam, a regular scholar, you have to search for that. We do not follow the most popular. We do not follow the most powerful. Power, fame has no role here. Sometimes the imam sits in his house for many years, but he would still be considered the imam representing Allah. He might not exercise power or authority. Many prophets, they were cornered in their homes. They were secluded from the society. Does that mean that there they've been defrocked by their communities, therefore he's not a prophet, he's not imam anymore? He is, even if he does not exercise. So you have to search for the right imam. You have to search for the right scholar in your life. We don't follow the most popular always. Not necessarily the most popular is the most correct one. You have to follow. You have to go and ask the people of expert. The people who know about this subject. This is in the school of Ahlul Bayt. This is our methodology, our tradition in the school of Ahlul Bayt. You have to know first what are the qualities of the imam. Before we point to this and that and we consider them infallible imams, we have to know what are the qualities of the imam. One day Imam Ali, while he was busy defending Islam in the battle of Jamal, a man came along in the midst of this, the combat, and he asked him, He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm shocked because I just saw on the other side people that we are fighting. There are many companions of the Prophet, Talha, Zubair, the wife of the Prophet. Are we right to do so? Are we allowed to fight those people? Those are the companions of the Prophet. Imam said to him, إِنَّكَ لَمَلْبُوسٌ عَلَيْكَ. Oh man, you are so confused. You are so confused. اعرف ان الحق والباطل لا يعرفان باقدار الرجال اعرف الحق تعرف اهله واعرف الباطل تعرف اهله. You are not going to realize what is truth and what is falsehood by certain personalities, looking at certain people and thinking that they represent the truth. Once you know the truth itself, the components of the truth and the component of falsehood, at that time, you're going to realize who is right and who is wrong. اعرف الحق, number one. You have to apply the truth on people, not people on the truth. You have to realize what is the truth. And here, hence, we have to know who is the leader, what are the qualifications, the resume of an infallible imam. Tonight I'd like to shed more lights on the existence of our last imam, the beloved Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam, inshaAllah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualifications of imams and leaders, even regular leaders in this life, even at the time of occultation, who are the qualified leaders to lead us, to be in charge of our affairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Those that we establish them in the land. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ. They establish regular prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sums up the message of Islam in spreading righteousness and truth and combating evil and injustice. Righteousness and justice. Leadership in Islam is a commitment to righteousness and justice here. Where is this in the Quran? Read Surah Al-Hadid. لقد أرسلنا رسولنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. So the masses, the population of earth, they stand for social justice. ليقوم الناس بالقسط. This is the first requirement in any leader. To be a leader in an Islamic community is to be just and fair, is to believe in justice, is to implement and exercise justice. These are the essential merits of a leader in Islam. Number one, justice. بِالْعَدْلِ قَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. It is only through justice the whole cosmos system is still standing today on justice. On justice. يَا دَاوُدْ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْعَدْلِ. Rule among the people through truth and justice. Imam Ali alayhi salam turns to his chief justice. He tells him, وَوَاسِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. You are a judge sitting in a court. When the plaintiff and the defendant, they come to you, you have to equalize between them. وَاسِ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَجْلِسِكَ وَوَجْهِكَ وَنَظَرِكَ. When you look at them, you have to equalize between them. When you face them, when you talk to them, give them equal opportunity. حَتَّى لَا يَطْمَعَ قَرِيبُكَ فِي حَيْفِكَ وَلَا يَيْأَسُ عَدُوُّكَ مِنْ عَدْلِكَ. This is, I wish we can implement this. I wish Muslim countries, Muslim judiciaries would listen to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He tells him, you have to equalize between the two. So one, someone who is related to you, someone who is part of your company and party and group, when he sees you implementing absolute justice, he would not have any hope in your corruption. He knows that you are not a corrupt person. And when your enemy looks at the exercise of justice that you have, your enemy would not lose hope in your fairness and justice. Ali alayhi salam was described after his death by Dharar ibn Dhamr al-Kanani when he left Kufa and he went in Damascus and he was summoned by Muawiyah. Muawiyah wanted him to describe Ali for him. So part of what he said, لا يطمع القوي في باطله ولا ييأس الضعيف من عدله. I saw something unique in this man. This man, those who are corrupt, opportunists in the community, they had no hope in his injustice. He would not favor them. They cannot blackmail him, even if they bring money and food to him, trying to blackmail him. They cannot fool him. And the da'if, the deprived, the disenfranchised, would not lose hope in his justice and fairness. وَلَا يَيْأَسُ الضَّعِيفُ مِنْ عَدْلِهِ. Where are the Muslim countries? Where is this justice? Therefore, this is the first component. The second is, in Islam, we believe that government is for service and help, helping the people. Maybe in an un-Islamic context, government means power and authority. But when it comes to an Islamic context, government in Islam means that the leader is the servant, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhu. He's there not to serve his interest. He's there to serve the people. Allah wants him to serve the people. Imam Ali, when he was working day and night, when he was asked by some of his aides to get some rest, he said, if I sleep during the day, إن نمت نهارا ضيعت رعيتي وإن نمت ليلا ضيعت نفسي. He asked me to get some rest during the day. I'm accountable before Allah because I have to take care of my subjects, my people. He was the servant of the people, Imam Ali. He was always with the people. Imam Ali was maybe the first leader after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had no guards. He would walk in Kufa and sometimes some people would not recognize him. They don't recognize that this is the leader, this is the Khalifa. He had no guards. He had no entourage walks after him, behind him. Therefore, in an un-Islamic context, government means power and authority, and it entails aggression, nepotism, accumulation of wealth, corruption. This is what we see on a daily basis. But for an Islamic leader, he's the servant of the people. Imam Ali says in his epistle to Malik al-Ashtar, وَأَشْعِرْ قَلْبَكَ الرَّحْمَةَ لِلرَّعِيَّةِ وَالْعَطْفِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالرَّأْفَةِ بِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ صِنْفَانِ إِمَّا أَخٌ لَكَ فِي الدِّينِ أَوْ نَظِيرٌ لَكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. They have to feel your personal touch. Your subjects have to feel your personal touch. You cannot seclude yourself, stay away from them. Today in the Muslim countries, the only time you see the president, the king, the prime minister is on either television or in the newspaper. Do you see him among the people? They are invisible, like angels, invisible. And that is why the whole world is going forward and the Muslims are going backward. Because of their leaders, because of the corruption that we have in the political system, in the economic system. These are two things here. I would leave the rest. But let me hear, in what is left of this time tonight, let's focus on our Imam. The Imam that we are related to him now. Yes, I think we have to accommodate our brothers and sisters. It's only a few nights and Muharram will be over and these will be memories. So be generous, be kind. It's only a few minutes inshallah and then the majlis will be over. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. I'd love to share 3 points with you regarding our beloved Imam, our beloved leader, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. 3 questions that runs in the mind of many of our youth, our youngsters here. Number 1, does he exist? 2, why does he exist? Why do we need him? Why is he important and relevant to our life? And 3, when he is coming back. As to the first one, if you look at the narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding our Imam, you would find that the Prophet categorically asserts that he does exist. He would reappear, not that he would born at the end of this time. He will reappear. Sayadhhar. The Prophet never said he will be born. Muslims today, I think Muslims are unanimous here in their belief in the reappearance of the Imam. However, our Sunni brothers, a majority of them believe that he is still not born. He will be born. But the Prophet always referred to him as someone who exists, of course, after the Prophet. And he will reappear, not that he will reborn. And if you look at a book, belongs to a very prominent narrator of hadith, transmitter of hadith, Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Kanji al-Shafi'i, one of the important, prominent Sunni transmitters. He wrote a book, Al-Bayan fi Akhbari Sahib al-Zaman. He compiled and gathered 1,000 hadith only from the Prophet, only from the Prophet, about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. 1,000 hadith, 1,000 tradition of the Prophet about his reappearance. Some of them appear in Nahj al-Balagha, in Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari, in the section that speaks about the return of Jesus, he says one day the Prophet turns to his companions and says to them, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ فِيكُمُ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. How do you feel when you find the descension, when you see the descension of Jesus to the earth? But the leader is one from among you, the Muslims, the contemporary Muslims. And here he stops short of mentioning the name of the Imam because of politics and nothing but politics, unfortunately. So this is number 1, he does exist. And therefore, brothers and sisters, one of our moral duty, one of our moral duties every day, every single day, is to greet the Imam. One of our scholars used to say that I would never miss this opportunity of speaking to Imam. Even if it takes me 30 seconds, I will just say a salam to him, quick salam. I have to build my relationship with him. We have to remind ourselves that we have a leader and we neglected this leader. We don't pay attention to him. I'm not asking you to put his pictures in your rooms, but to remember him. To remember him in your prayers. And this is one of the prayers that we do at the end of the session. You have to incorporate these prayers in your life on a daily basis. Whether in the formal prayers or whenever you remember him. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-hujjah. Remember these prayers. He does exist. You want to get his attention? You have to remember him. You have to remember him. We cannot get an attention of a person that we don't know him, we don't know his name, we don't know about his existence. It's a reciprocal relationship. So this is number one. Number two, why does he exist? And why he is important for us to be here? If you look at the history of the creation, you will find from day one, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe, and whenever he speaks about the creation in the Quran, in many chapters in the Quran, Allah joins the creation with guidance. Whenever Allah mentions the creation, khalq, he mentions hidayah. Listen to the Quran. سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى خَلْق and hidayah. They are together. Allah does not create like some fathers. They make children and then they abandon them, they desert them. They relinquish their custody. They don't care about them. Allah is not like that. Allah creates and He guides. The essence of this life is guidance, which is more important than the creation. More important. The value that has been assigned to you, given to you, not because of your physical entity, because of your spiritual worth and value. This is why we hear Allah says about many people who have good bodies, they have good exercise, good diet and good food. Allah says, إِنْهُمْ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Their parable is like the cattle that have only one aim in their mind, only food. أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Even worse, some of the an'am, some of the cattle, they have some responsibilities. They fulfill their duty in this life. But some of the human beings, they don't. They don't. You get nothing out of them but harm and evil. أُولَئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Therefore, guidance is important. When Pharaoh asks Musa عليه السلام, قَالَ فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. Tell me about his identity. You came to me with your brother Aaron, asking me to believe in your Lord. Who is your Lord? قَالَ رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. He gave the shape and the creation to everything He created. Then He guided. He did not leave them without guidance. Allah would not leave you without guidance. Ibrahim was, when he was introducing his Lord to his community, he said, my Lord, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. Immediately يَهْدِينَ. Before he says he gives me food, he gives me drink, he gives me shelter, he says he guides me. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي. My Lord is the one who created me and he gives me guidance. He shows me the way. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. Guidance is inseparable from a creation. He would never create, not only us, even animals. He will give them some sort of guidance. All the creatures in this universe have been guided and shown the way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from day one, this is the story. This is an ancient story. Allah decided, took upon Himself, when I create people, I have to send guidance. Prophets, apostles, anbiya, imams, to guide them, not to leave them alone. Not to leave them alone. When on this earth were only four people, the population of earth probably 10,000 years ago, were only four. Adam, Eve, Abel and Cain. Allah sent one of them as a messenger. When we had only four people, Allah sent a prophet. Now when we have 6 billion, He would not send an imam? We have no imam? Where is common sense? This is common sense. He would leave us without a guide, without an imam? I was watching a sheikh sitting next to me in a seminar in America. Somebody asked him about Imam al-Mahdi. He said, no, he's not there. He does not exist. He might come one day, but now he does not exist. So the man asked him why he does not exist. Listen to the naive answer. He said, because nobody has saw him. I said, Sheikh, do you believe in God? He said, yes, of course. Did you see God? When did you see God? You believe in the Prophet Muhammad? Yes. Did you see Prophet Muhammad yourself with your eyes? How do you believe in a man that you don't see him? And certainly you believe in the Jannah, in paradise, in hell, inshaAllah ta'ala, in Sirat, in the grave. Have you seen them? How do you believe in them? How do you believe in the Prophet? I ask you today, how do we believe in the Prophet? How do we know definitely that 1400 years ago there was a Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do we know that? Do you have his own picture? Do you have his picture? How do we know that? Since we believe in Allah and we believe that everything God says is the truth, and we believe in the authenticity of the Quran tells us that there was a man by the name of Muhammad, Isa, Musa, Ibrahim. They performed miracles. We did not see them. Do you see angels? How do you know angels exist? Through the Quran, through the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, this is how we know that the Imam exists, because Allah would not leave you. And again, we have another principle called Qa'idatul Lutf, Al-Lutf Al-Ilahi, the spiritual grace of God. Through this axiom, principle, Allah is sending the messengers and the prophets to guide us. This is not an Islamic principle, by the way. This is a human principle. Everybody believes in this. See, some of you have kids and you send them to school. Why do you send your child to the school? Why do you have to pay probably £300 a month for your child, or even sometimes more than that? Books are available. He has eyes. He has a brain. He can read. Why do you send him to the school? Because he needs a teacher. He needs a guide. Books are available, but you need someone to show him the way. Not only with a student who goes to primary school, with someone who's doing his PhD thesis. He can read and write. Books are available, but he still needs a supervisor. Someone to show him the way. We do that on a daily basis. Why, when it comes to religion and faith, we do not believe in it? We do need the prophets and the imams, and the imam still exists today. He exists. Now, if you tell me how he exists for 1200 years, 1300 years, that's a different story. That's again part of faith. Because Allah tells us that Nuh lived among his community for 950 years, only doing business, working. Working. His serving time was 950 years. His actual age was 1600 years. The longest serving prophet on earth. So it's not very surprising if the Imam lives for 1300 years, or even more than that. As it is not very surprising for us if we know that Jesus has been living for the last 2000 years. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. We believe that he was never murdered or killed. He still exists. Sometimes Allah puts someone there, sometimes somewhere else. Now what do we do to bring him back? Where is the solution? How do we bring the Imam? How to expedite his return? What do we do? Brothers and sisters, here, this answer depends on two things. One is whenever Allah wants. Second, whenever we want. We also, we are counted here. Yes, we also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, listen people, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah would never change the conditions of any community unless they themselves take the initiative and change the circumstances. Yes, he has the bottom there, he can press the bottom, but he wants to see willingness here and readiness. Are we ready to receive the Imam? Allah wants to see our preparedness, readiness. Are we welcoming him? Are we accommodating him if he comes? Are we ready to accept his justice if he comes? Are we? Imagine the imam today would arrive and he wants to come to your house. Is your house ready to receive him? Look at your bedroom when you go back home. Look at what you put on the walls. Things that you listen to, are they conducive to his return? In your car, in your house, the movies that you watch, are they conducive to his return? Would he be happy? Our homes, our family relationships, our friends, even what you wear, even your hairstyle, whether you are male or female, are they welcoming him? It depends on us, brothers and sisters. Allah is merciful. The imam is there. Allah can do things within a matter of less than a fraction of a second. But it depends on us. If we prepare for that, he will come, the imam. If we are worthy of receiving him, are we? Do we remember him? We have to prepare for his return. Not only through dua. Dua is important. Through our actions. Through our actions. Through our transformation. And this is an opportunity for us tonight. These days. When these days are over, we are gone. We don't see each other. This is our opportunity. To have a pledge with Allah and with the Imam. Imam al-Zaman. Right now, at this moment. That I will change myself. I'd like to be your servant. I'd like to host you in my house if you come. I'd like to receive you. I'd like to support you. Therefore, I'll do my best to change myself, to transform myself, to go back to Allah. I don't want to be ashamed. When you come to my house, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before you. I don't want to be ashamed of my actions, of my relationships, illicit relationships. I want to be proud when I stand before you. I want you to smile in my face, not to frown. This is how we receive the Imam. Brothers and sisters, let me transfer you now to the holy land of Karbala. The holy land of Karbala is waiting for us to go and see another scene. Every night we pick a scene, we watch it, we interact with it, we try to learn from it. These scenes are unique in the history of mankind. I don't think it would be reenacted again. It would not be repeated again. What the history witnessed 1400 years ago, in the year 61 Hijri, it would not be repeated again tonight, the night that belongs, attributed to the companions, the noble companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his ashab, his companions. He raised a group of companions that they were very powerful in their faith, very unshakable, very solid in their faith, in their iman. They were not hesitant. They knew what they were doing. Imam did not deceive them. When Imam invited them to come to Karbala, they were fully aware of the repercussions. They knew that they are not going to go and collect money and wealth and government and power and authority. They're going to give their souls. But they were proud of that. Because in exchange for that, there is an eternal happiness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the people when they go and visit them. I was there a few months ago. The people who stand before their shrine, how they pay tribute to them. There were many other people living with Imam Hussein in Medina, in Mecca, who chose not to go with him. Do you hear about them? Do you hear about their news? One lady who was not even in Karbala, she was in Kufa. She is very unknown by the name of Tawa. She had one single noble act by giving refuge to Muslim. this year and every year, thousands, I would say hundreds of thousands of people remember her, celebrate her name, Tawa. See, this comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not man-made celebration. This is a gift from Allah. إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون. An example of that, a man who was not even running or circling in the orbit of Ahlul Bayt or Imam Hussein, by the name of Zuhair ibn al-Qayn, Uthmani al-Hawa, was it from the other camp, exactly the opposite camp. But look, when Allah loves someone, and when that person has noble seeds, it will give fruit one day. He was sitting in one of these resting places, Imam Hussein, from Mecca to Karbala, passed through 38th resting place and station. In one of them, he realized that Zuhair ibn al-Qayn is nearby. So Imam sent him a delegate, a messenger, asking him to join the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was sitting with his wife, eating food in the tent. The messenger of Imam Hussein comes to him, seeks permission, and tells him, "My master Sayyidi invites you to join our camp." Zuhair refuses. He was adamant. He said, "No." When the messenger left, his wife, a noble wife, and this is shows you that women, my sisters, let me tell you something important. Allah has endowed you with an enormous power to guide through your compassion, through your love. Yes, you have a weapon that maybe men do not have it. You can transform, you can change, you can encourage your family, your husband, your children. You can bring them to Allah. This man had this gift. A wife by the name of Dalham bint Amr. When the messenger left, she turned to her husband. She said to him, "Ya'tika Rasul ibn binti Rasulillah." This is the messenger of the grandson of the Prophet was here, inviting you, and you decline? You decline? You decline eternity? Then he changed his mind. He went to Imam Hussein. It took him only a few minutes, huh? Not even hours. Imam transformed him completely. Through a simple glance, just a simple glance from the Imam to Zuhair ibn al-Qayn. The narrator of the story, he says, "Dahaba biwajhin wa aada biwajhin akhar." When he left us, he went with a face and he came with a completely different face in a matter of minutes. See how Imam Hussein changed him. Changed his entire life. He came, he said, his wife turned to him, he said, "Ya Zuhair, what did Imam Hussein say to you?" He said, "He reminded me of a story. Many years ago, we were fighting in Belanger, an area called Belanger, with the Muslim army. When we won the battle, we started collecting the war booty. Salman al-Muhammadi was standing there. He saw us very happy and joyful. He said, 'Kunu. كونوا بنصرة ابن رسول الله ابن بنت رسول الله أفرح من جمعكم لهذه الغنائم. A day will come that you, Zuhair, and others will be in the company." And this is many years before, probably 30 years ago or 40 years before. You have to be more joyful when you join the camp. It did not make sense to me at that time. I heard the story, I didn't understand it. Zuhair was telling his wife, "Today Imam Hussein told me, 'Ya Zuhair, do you remember the story? Do you remember what Salman told you? This is the day. This is the day. This is your golden opportunity. You are standing on a very, very, very critical intersection. One side leads to hell, the other one leads to paradise. It's the choice up to you.' Imam Hussein changed me. So he said to his wife, tell him, stand, let's join the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. She said to him, yes, well done, Zuhair. Anta tuwasi al-rijal wa ana uwasi al-nisa. I am also proud to be part of Hussein's camp. Yes, it is my privilege. This is one example. Another example is a Christian young guy who was a newlywed. Newlywed. Wahab. His name was Wahab al-Kalbi. He converted to Islam. I want you to listen to this story. We live in a community that the vast majority of them are non-Muslims. See how Islam does to the hearts, how Islam transforms the hearts and the minds of the people. This man was a Christian. He converted with his wife, young wife, and his mother, newlywed. He converted at the hand of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and joined the company of Hussein alayhi salam. They reached Ashura, the day of Ashura. His mother came to him. She said to him, Ya Wahab, listen, we are a newly convert. How about completing and crowning our faith, our conversion by Shahada, martyrdom? How about that? What do you think about that? He said, of course, my mother. That is the most noble act. That is the most noble act. So she encouraged him to go and fight, stand before the Imam and fight. Give his life, give his soul. He went, he fought very bravely. He killed some, he wounded others. He came back, he stood before his mother. He said, Ya Ummah, araditi anni? Are you happy? Are you satisfied with me now? She said, never. La wallah, never. Unless I see you murdered before Imam Hussein alayhi salam. At that time I will be happy. I don't want you to return to me safely. Look at the family of Hussein. Look at his children. Even the 6 months old baby is going to give his life. I want you to be happy. I want you to be successful. So he went back. But before he left, his wife, he's a newlywed. She's a young lady. She came to him. She said, Wahab, I put you to oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not bereave me by your killing, by your murder. I would be left alone with no husband, with no companion in my life. But Wahab, he went ahead. He was fighting. Few minutes later, he heard a voice, his wife's voice, standing behind him. Telling him, Wahab, qatil duna al-tayyibin, abna'a al-tayyibin. Ya Wahab, qatil duna al-tayyibin, abna'a al-tayyibin. He was shocked. He said to her, what happened? Only a few minutes ago you were discouraging me. You told me not to go and fight. Qalat lahu, ya Wahab, la talumni inna wa'iyat al-Husayn qatta'at niyata qalbi. سمعته ينادي هل من ناصر ينصرنا. Imam Hussein is alone. Wahab, don't blame me. When you left, I listened to him sitting there and shouting, screaming, do we have any helper to support us? Any support? My heart broke for Imam Hussein. Now I changed my mind. I want you to go and fight, Ya Wahab. Fight and defend this man, this noble man. Few minutes later, while he was fighting, he was slaughtered. He fell to the ground. His wife rushed to him. مسحت الدم والتراب عن. She started wiping the blood and the dust. She said to him, congratulations, Ya Wahab. أسأل الله الذي رزقك الشهادة أن يرزقني إياها. I ask Allah who bestowed this martyrdom, this success on you, to bestow martyrdom on me, Ya Wahab, my dear husband. While he was there and she was sitting there, مر بها خادم لشمر غلام لشمر. One of the servants of Shimr was walking, passing by. Shimr ordered him to hit this lady. He came, he dealt her a blow on her head. فكانت أول شهيدة في ركاب الحسين عليه السلام. قضى وقضى وحق عليهم دون الأخيام، ولا خلوا خوات حسين تنظام تنظام تهاوى، ومثل ما هو النجم من خبر هذا الرمح بفادة تثنى. إمام حسين عليه السلام on the eve of Ashura, he stood, he gave a speech and he asked his companions to leave him, not to stay with him. أصحابي هذا الليل قد غشيكم فاتخذوه جملا وليأخذ كل واحد منكم بيد رجل. Night is falling, take it as a cover. Every each and every one of you, my companions, take the hand of one of my family members and leave me, desert me tonight. Those people, they only want me. I am the most wanted tonight. None of them left him. Maybe few, according to some historians. The first person who stood was Abbas alayhi salam. إلى أين نرحل يا أبا عبد الله? Where to go? Where are you asking us to go? We are on the verge of paradise. It's only a few hours and we will be in paradise. And you don't want us to join you in paradise? Burayr said something else. Zuhair said, then Imam Hussein told them the truth. He said, Ashabi, I want to tell you the truth. What will happen tomorrow? I do not want to mislead you. أصحابي ستسبى نسائي وأخشى على نسائكم السبي. ارجعوا بنسائكم إلى أهليهم. Take them back. I don't want your women to be taken captives. Zainab, the rest of my sisters, my daughters are going to be captives. I do not want this to happen to your women, to your family members. جاء حبيب بن مباهر إلى الخباء، نادى زوجته خرجت إليه، قال يقول سيدي ستسبى نسائي وأخشى على نسائكم السبي. She stood before him. She said, حبيب هل أسأت إليك في حياتي? Did I offend you in my entire life since I have been your wife? Did I say something bad to you? هل تريد أن تمضي بوحدك إلى الجنة وتتركني ها هنا? Do you want to go alone to paradise and I stay behind you, Habib? I will be with you. Whatever happens to Zainab alayhi salam, to Rabab, it will happen to me. I am not better than the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And the last story, let me share it with you. Muslim ibn Awsajah, one of the good disciples of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he was fighting until he fell. Imam Hussein rushed to him with Habib ibn Mubahir. He stood there. He looked at Muslim ibn Awsajah. وَقَرَأَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. رحمك الله يا مسلم. Then Habib turned to him. Habib said to him, Muslim, you've been my friend for a long, long time. I congratulate you for this martyrdom, for this shahada today, Muslim. But Muslim, Habib was telling Muslim, Ya Muslim, if I wasn't absolutely sure that I am going to follow your footsteps, I would have asked you to give me, to receive your will from you. I would ask you to tell me, what do you want me to do with your family? What was the answer of Muslim? Muslim did not tell him about his children, about his women, about his wealth. Muslim at that moment pointed to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. قال أوصيك بهذا أن تموت دون. He turned, he pointed to Imam Hussein. He said, my only wasiyah to you, the only request I have from you is to take care of this man. You give your life and sacrifice in defending him, this man. قربت قربت يا ابن ظاهر مني اتي انا موصيك بعيالي وبيتي. قربتي يا ابن ظاهر منيتي انا ما وصيك بعيالي وبيتي ان كان نيتك مثل نيتي انا بالحسين ولاد وصيتي احمد ضايعات بعدك ضعنا نسالك اللهم وندعوك. Please raise your hand in dua, in prayers, in supplication. Let's remember those who are missing, those who could not make it to these sessions, those who are in the hospitals, homes, hospitals, who are asking us to pray for them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Let's recite it together. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية. Let's another prayers, important prayers for our Imam. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه. One more request please. When Hajj Osama recites, I want you to participate in this lamentation in your sympathy with Ahlul Bayt, with the tragedy of Ahlul Bayt. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.